Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A Victory Monday here, a Patriots Monday. It's Christian Arcand, it's Andy Hart. WEEI Afternoons, we are live here at Gillette Stadium. If you missed anything, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. That includes our interview with Jonathan Jones and our interview with Drake May, who Coach Mayo was just talking about there in the postgame show. We will be replaying our Drake May interview at 5 o'clock, by the way, so don't miss it. Two times. Or if you want to listen to it two times, you can. It was either really way. Good. I mean, it was incredible. I don't think really good covers it. It was the best interview there's ever been and there ever will be, I'd say. Until next week when we interview him again.
Yeah, because that'll be even better when he's in studio.
This would have been
even better if he was in studio.
It would have been. For you, certainly, so you could play footsie with him again.
I brought my legs out for him today.
You're like, I shaved and everything.
I got my short shorts on so he can see whatever he needs to see.
Hey, so can the people on Twitch, which, by the way, there are comments in there. Yeah, it's taking a dark turn in the Twitch chat.
Well, I thought it was the game of a lot of sacks, so I thought I'd... What?
Hey, oh, nice. What do you think of Drake May's game on the field? I mean, I didn't think it was his best game.
Oh, is this where you want to get to the negative?
I want to talk about on and off the field, how he looked. I think off the field, we covered it. He had a great, great week. On the field, I thought it wasn't his best game. I don't think that's a controversial thing to say.
I don't think it was his best game, and I know that because actually Chris Scheim joined us on the Six Rings postgame show, and he does the weekly Drake May grade, and it was his lowest grade yet. He gave him an 83.
Okay.
So like a B-minus right on the cusp.
It's like a high
there.
B-minus.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think there's probably some truth to that. I continue to say, though, what did he say was his best throw, he thought? You forget.
He didn't. He just said it was good catches by everybody.
But he rolled out, and he said, I thought I had a pretty good one close there to Booty or whatever.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
And he blamed himself. Booty, go get the ball. Booty, all I would be coaching Booty on if I was the wide receivers coach right now would be more aggressive to the football.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're doing everything really well except going to get the football. Whether it was the interception in overtime or whether it was a throw where you have a chance to make a play, high point drills, go get the damn football. And I still think that's a problem for Drake May, is guys not always maximizing playmaking opportunities that he provides them. And I've bitched about this since August. You know this. I defended him on practice field where I thought the narrative was, Drake May's been kind of meh. And I would articulate 2, 3, 4, 5 passes that if Polk made it and Booty made it and Osborne made it, you'd be talking about his day completely differently.
Sure.
But they didn't make it, so they don't count. I thought yesterday there were times, and that's why I asked him that question about running versus running to throw. I thought there were times he looked a little uncomfortable or unsure, and it's funny because he said, I want to be decisive.
Right.
I didn't think he was always decisive yesterday in terms of what he wanted to do.
Agreed. And that's not just with throws. I thought that at the end of one of his runs, Perillo was in here talking about that. He takes off running. And you see Tremaine Edmonds, who was a big hitter, coming right up to him, who was in coverage, I guess. He's a middle linebacker, so I guess he was back in coverage. And he comes right towards him, and May looks like he's about to slide, and then instead of sliding, he, like, dives forward, and it's just like, what are you doing? Like, come on. Like,
I'm telling you.
You got to do one thing or the other. You can't start the slide and then dive forward. Like, that's how you get hurt. Not that I'm supposed to tell anybody how to play football, but, my God, like, I think everybody in the world, New England fan watching that, held their breath until the end of that play, because that was, out of all of his runs, that was the one I liked the least. I mean, that maybe all season.
And I think that's a transition, because we know he slid earlier.
Right.
It led to the concussion. He hasn't slid a whole hell of a lot since the concussion.
Right.
Or since he was in the protocol. I won't say necessary concussion. Since he was in the protocol.
I think he went to slide, and then he remembered. He's like, no, Andy Hart says I should dive forward.
You're damn right.
Said,
I think others have also told him sliding isn't always the best thing.
Right.
And Edmonds is a big, fast, like, he can hurt you kind of guy.
Definitely.
That's not some soft, like, nickel corner or something that you don't think is actually going to hit you. So I think there was part of that. I just think would be more aggressive there. But I thought even times with his running, he looked a little unsure of exactly how he wanted to handle it, what he wanted to do. Because the pressure wasn't terrible. It was just the one sack, right? The Onwenu let up early.
I thought the offensive line was their best game by far. I thought by far it was their best game.
It was good. It was better. And I think Mayo talked about this morning. The comparisons to the Bengals game where they were able to run it. They were able to do enough during the passing game. I didn't think they dominated. I thought Ramondre Stevenson had to work pretty hard in the run game.
In the run game, it was only 3.5-something yards per carry. But still, that's a big improvement.
And they ran
the pass protection was very good.
And they were able to, because of the score and everything else, the defense, they were able to run it, I think, 35 times. Like, the running game was a big part of the offense. And it was spread throughout all the guys. They had four different guys with
35 rushes, 144 yards.
Yeah, that right there to me is an impressive number. 35 for 144. And sneaky late when Gibson came in and they drove to that last field goal, it was all Gibson.
Yeah.
Like he's been kind of the forgotten guy, and suddenly he was the core of the offense when the other team knows you're going to try to run the game out, run the ball out. So I thought the line was good. It got off to a bad start, though, because I forgot the order of operations, but you had Ben Brown snap it into his own ass, and there's a fumble. The ball's on the ground. I thought Drake May did a nice job to recover it, then almost compounded the mistake by trying to throw a pick over the middle.
Right.
Don't do that, Drake. Let's put that away.
He almost had a pick in the end zone, too. He didn't. They didn't count.
How many picks did Jared Goff have last night?
He had five.
Yeah. How many did Drake May have?
He had the one.
So even the great quarterbacks, everybody's anointing Jared Goff like the second coming of a Super Bowl savior in Detroit. Everybody makes bad throws and bad plays and throws interceptions. So
sure.
Get off my boy.
Okay.
I don't want to have to tell you again.
Relax. 617-779-7937. Jay is in North Carolina. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jay.
Sound like a broken record, but I really appreciate your program with your analysis. I appreciate that. But I know Chicago isn't going for the Super Bowl, but these victories breed respect, and they breed belief in themselves, which is really good. And as Donald Trump said, what have you got to lose? Put Drake Bay in there and let him go. So he didn't say that. But the thing is, let Drake Bay.
All right, thanks for the call, Jay. That's enough. All right.
Oh, he brings up Trump and you cut him off. I see how it is.
He just brought up a quote.
The man is our president.
He never said that.
Respect him.
I don't remember Donald Trump talking about playing Drake May. I don't think that. In fact,
implied.
If I recall, the "what if you got to lose" thing was about something else.
Anyway, something that I wanted to point out. So the passing game. The best player in the passing game, I think we've all anointed, is Hunter Henry.
Agreed.
Interestingly, yesterday, I think the Bears also said Hunter Henry's the best player in the passing game. I think they targeted him to take him away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the only inefficient receiver that Drake May went to.
Yeah.
Four targets, one completion to Hunter Henry. Everybody else was 4 out of 5 to Douglas, 4 out of 6 to Booty, 3 out of 4 to Hooper, 1-1-1-1, Polk, Osborne, Steve, like everybody else.
Yeah.
The only inefficiency was, I think, the Bears smartly said Hunter Henry is the guy he likes to go to. We're gonna make you beat us with these other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Prove it. And it wasn't a great day, 184 yards passing,
right,
but it was good enough in the environment with which the game was played and the circumstances that the game was played. So I thought it wasn't a great day, but I would say it's a more positive than negative day. It wasn't a bad day.
I definitely saw some improvements and step forward.
Absolutely,
sure. And I think that he did make some very, very good throws. So if we're talking about his development in general, I think it's still on a good track. But I also think that it wasn't, he's played in better games than this.
And I
don't think he's getting worse, but I do think he's had better games than that.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen. I still think the Bears have a decent defense. I don't think they're a terrible defense. But I also think it's important. So Mayo said something to the effect of, you get out there and you play better, and then you can become a leader and you can say things. Well, I also think you have to be careful when you say things to not then go lay an egg.
Mm-hmm.
If he threw 3 or 4 picks in this game and sucked and fumbled, I think that would be like, oh, so you're going to talk the talk on Wednesday and then you're going to go crap your pants in Chicago on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that.
Nope.
He was a net positive. And I think in the totality of his growth as the quarterback and leader, that's important to continue that positive trend.
Mike is in Boston. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you guys, one of you were talking about clock mismanagement with the coaches. Did anybody think that was wrong when Campbell had 40 seconds to go in the Detroit game and it was 3rd and 7 and he had 2 timeouts and he used 1 timeout to get the clock all the way down to 4 seconds? Why not go for the 3rd down, try and get it closer, and you had plenty of time to call a timeout to kick the field goal?
Mike, did you have Detroit -4.5 like I did?
No.
No? Well, then they won the game. What do you care? Thanks for the call. I don't know. I don't really remember that point in the game, and it doesn't matter because we're not talking about that. But, yeah, I mean, listen, the Lions won the game. It was a close game. Good game.
Hello. You play to win the game.
Appreciate that, sure. I didn't love that win because I did have the -4.5, and they only won by 3. So I thought maybe I was, you know, commiserating with a fellow losing gambler from last night, but now he just had a problem with the Campbell play call.
I was a winning gambler yesterday thanks to Brian Frazoco when he told me how crappy the Bears were, and I took those 6.5 points.
I
cruised
to victory. I bet the Pats money line.
Ooh, look at you.
I know. I had a nice little weekend, too. But then I tried to really maximize it at the end of the night, and the Lions broke my heart. 617-779-7937. The Patriots defense showing out big time in Chicago last night. Are they back? Were they ever really here to begin with? Is this something you can expect going forward? We'll take a deep dive into the Patriots' day on defense, all the sacks, and everything else right after Stiz.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get you caught up on what's trending. Patriots pass rush, their shining moment of the season so far. 9 sacks on the day. Caleb Williams hitting the deck over and over again. Let me just read you a quick synopsis here of everybody who recorded at least a sack. Jelani Tavai had one. Jeremiah Farms Jr. had one. And 3 tackles for loss. He was everywhere in that game. You had Anfernee Jennings had a couple. Keon White had one. Dietrich Wise had 2. Dale Pettis had one. And Brendan Schooler had one. And there's your 9 sacks for the Patriots, reminiscent of that game 2 years ago against the Colts, which I instantly thought of, a game where they sacked Sam Ellinger a million times. Uche, I think, was all over him in that game. It was a shining moment for the pass rush in that game. The question now, I think, Andy, is we expected this Patriots defense to be a lot better than it's been so far this year, right? I don't know if you did.
Not a lot better, but better.
I thought it would be closer to what we saw last year, at the very least. And it's been not close to that, I don't think, most of the season. Most of the season, I feel like they haven't tackled well. They get run on a lot. Good quarterbacks are still able to make plays against the good secondary. Like, I just feel like nothing's really clicked. Everything clicked in that game yesterday. Are they back? Is this something that you're expecting them to build off of? Do you think it gets better from here?
No, I don't. I think this is,
Negative Nancy now?
Well, I think you, because you asked Jonathan Jones, was this a get-right game? This was a get-right game. This was sort of a slump buster. Mm-hmm. This was a game that will alter their statistics in a lot of categories in a misleading sense.
I set them up for a nice positive answer. How's that being negative?
Well, because it's indicating that it was kind of a softball setup lobbed up to them by the Bears in terms of the opponent.
That's
and the
not
outcome.
What I meant by get-right game. I mean, like, you won. You
to me, a get-right game is an opponent that you don't think very little of and you expect to play really well and fix a lot of what ails you because they are a willing victim. They're a willing foe.
I guess going into the game, if you call it that, but I was meaning sore in retrospect. Like,
the Patriots were a get-right game for other teams because they sucked.
Right.
Right?
Unless the Patriots beat them, and then they're not. But
no,
like,
I know,
it was, did you feel like that was the get-right game after it was over?
Yeah,
that
so
what it felt
if,
like?
That's if what that's what you meant, I don't think so. I think you played a bad Bears team that's playing bad football. That's the other thing that we can use the old Mayo mindset. Are they a bad team? Or are they playing both bad football? Both, I think the Bears are right now. But you get 9 sacks. I think they had 16 coming in, right?
Something like that, yeah.
So, like, misleadingly, if somebody from L.A. is now doing like you like to do your Friday preview of the opponent.
Yes.
Wow, Patriots got 25 sacks on this. And you're like, well, right. They kind of all came last week against a crappy quarterback and a crappy offensive line. Oh, they're really good on third down. Well, yeah, they went 1 of 14 on third down last week or, you know, low passing numbers. I think this can really sway their statistics in a direction that isn't really indicative of who they are. Do I expect every week now Farms to be this like dominant player, or Roy's actually been pretty good.
Roy has been good.
Sneaky good.
He's got like two of the other 20 sacks they had.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
And do I expect Dietrich Wise to have two sacks every week? Or no, this was a very opportunistic defense yesterday. They took what Caleb Williams and that offensive line was going to give them. I don't think that necessarily means they're going to dominate the Rams a week later.
So you think this game is more about the Bears than the Patriots? Is that sort of what you're saying here?
Because
the defense is the reason they won, and you're saying the defense was a reflection of the bad Bears offense.
No, I think it was a really good offense. I mean, a really good game plan against an offense that's really scuffling right now and can't get out of their own way schematically. The quarterback's a problem. The O-line is a problem. My buddy Shane Waldron is having his own issues in terms of play calling. Like, there's
right, so it's all about the Bears is what you're saying.
No, because you have to take advantage of it. They are
sure.
an NFL team, and as you said, they've played good games.
They have, yeah, sure.
Like, they're trending in the wrong direction. They're banged up on the line and that whole thing, but they still have NFL wide receivers. They still have the number one pick quarterback, who's supposed to be one of the most talented players. Gerard Mayo said, I still think he's really going to be a good player in this league. But I give the Patriots credit. You started with Covington. I think they threw a lot at Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Packages, personnel, scheme, different things never allowed him to get comfortable mentally or physically. And the physical part, that might be about the Bears, but the mental part, that's about the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's about a good game plan.
Agreed. And I was shocked by the lack of adjustments. They didn't make any adjustments at all. It didn't seem like Shane Waldron was just running the same double move, deep plays, and Williams is standing there looking around. You know, they didn't adjust to Schooler spying on him. They didn't adjust to anything, really. I feel like it was just the same thing for all four quarters, and it never got any better. And Williams was just getting destroyed every other snap, it seemed like.
So,
and they had no answer for it. Eberflus, Waldron, nobody did anything.
My biggest critique would have been, this was like the second straight week they barely used Cole Kmet, and I think he's grossly underutilized.
They tried to get it to him a few times.
They forced it to him late, and he even got pissy. Caleb Williams had bad body language on a throw late that was incomplete. But if I see Brendan Schooler in the middle of the field and I have Cole Kmet, I mean, I'm trying to line up and get you to do that again because I want Cole Kmet on Brendan Schooler. I want to see if he can cover him. And Del Pettis and others.
Yeah.
I think the weakness in the Patriots' defense on paper is in the middle of the field. And that should have been something that Cole Kmet was taking advantage of. Did they ever throw the ball to him in the middle of the field? I feel like everything was on the sidelines. It was everything on the sideline. So they actually never did what I think they should have done, which is get the ball to him in the middle of the field and try to challenge some questionable players.
Sort of feel like they did, but maybe there wasn't a completion. I don't know. Either way, you're right. I mean, he's been underused all season.
Brian thinks I can read lips.
And he's definitely not getting used. It wasn't used very much in that game. Aside from the defense, the wide receiver situation is one that I think has a little bit of drama going into it here coming into the game. We found out from Andrew Callahan during the game that Kendrick Bourne was told he was going to be benched. Instead, K.J. Osborne ends up playing a ton. He played more snaps than any receiver other than Booty.
Ooh, real quick, before we get into this, the K.J. Osborne never happened, touchdown, was whatever.
Yes.
Is another one to add to that reel of plays that don't count, but pretty impressive.
It was.
He did the Patrick Mahomes roll out. Is he out of bounds? He's not out of, roll out, hold on to it, throw late. Oh my, he caught it. I think the announcer even said, and he throws it away. No, KJ Osborne catches it.
I thought it was a throwaway too. The way he sprung back from the tackler, from the guy coming up the middle, that was a really athletic move. I mean, it was quick, but like, he was standing there ready, and then all of a sudden he was just 5 yards back. He just sprung backwards and got out of that tackle, ran to the sideline, and got off a throw that, you know, Osborne did get pushed out of bounds, but it was a pretty impressive-looking play, even though it didn't count. You're right about that. Kendrick Bourne, though, benched. The explanation that Callahan reported was that they're trying to get more of the young guys out there and get them more snaps. That makes sense, but then why is K.J. Osborne playing 47% of the snaps and Kendrick Bourne can't get out there? That doesn't really make sense. Also, Kendrick Bourne didn't request a trade.
Right. I don't really know why K.J. Osborne's on the team, never mind playing ahead of Kendrick Bourne, who you re-signed in the offseason.
Yeah.
You gave, I think, $4.5 million guaranteed to. You chose not to trade at the deadline. I don't know whether there were legitimate opportunities to do that or not.
I have a thought on that, but we'll get circle back to it.
But he should be part of the future. You extended him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you add two or three higher-end receivers, don't tell me Kendrick Osborne can't be your four or your five. Kendrick Bourne. I struggle with this because it is Kendrick Osborne we learned.
It is.
And KJ stands for Kendrick. Kendrick Bourne
Kung Fu Kenny
should be part of your future.
Yep.
And I know some people will be like, well, you know, there are different roles and body types. No, I don't care. I don't really want KJ Osborne playing, and I do want Kendrick Bourne playing. Mm-hmm. And yet he's the one, and he, all we hear about as a good attitude, good energy, smile on his face. The other guy, not so much, and yet he gets to play and Bourne doesn't. It really makes no sense.
No, it doesn't, except for maybe this. And I think it has something to do with what you were just kind of poking at, which is that Kendrick Bourne, if you're going to bench him, makes no sense to not trade at the deadline, right? Like, if he's going to rot on the bench, then what the hell are you keeping him here for? You could have included him in a pick swap. You could have done all sorts of things. I don't think there was any interest in him or KJ Osborne for that
probably
matter,
not.
And that they probably tried to dangle him out there, and no one wanted him.
So cut and Osborne, keep Bourne.
Well, maybe, but maybe in practice, Osborne's practicing better. Maybe,
I don't care.
What I'm saying is that Kendrick Bourne, attitude or not, may not be able to play anymore. You know, like it could be something as simple as that. Now, I hope
that's
not the
case. Are we sure about that? He's coming off an ACL.
I'm not sure about anything. I'm just saying, you're right. He's coming off an ACL.
Usually takes more than a year.
Okay, well, this year, it doesn't seem like it's really going to be the year, does it?
Like, does it seem like it's going to be KJ Osborne's year?
No, but...
And I'm annoyed by the fact that he was a dink and seems to get rewarded for it.
I'm annoyed by that, too, but Kendrick Bourne dropped 3 passes in the last game he played in. Like, this is...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. If this team's benching everybody who drops passes, there'll be nobody on the field.
Sure, but if it's between him and KJ Osborne...
I'd play
on
him.
On the field, Osborne's
him.
Been a little
him.
Bit better.
Him.
Because of his attitude.
Yes.
Not because of on-the-field play.
And I've missed the part where Osborne's been markedly better.
Not much better, but I mean, he's done some.
I'd also be fine with if you just benched all of them, played the young guys, and figured it out.
Well, that was the whole thing. We're not going to play you because we're playing the young guys, and then Osborne gets more snaps than Douglas and gets more snaps than Baker and who else? So I don't know. And Polk.
Baker's
the
guy I need to see.
Yeah, Polk didn't, Polk only had the one target.
Catch, touchdown.
And that's it. So.
Very efficient day. Found the end zone on the other
certainly
time he was.
Was
targeted.
Anyway, the wide receiver room, I still think, is very much in flux and not really something to feel great about. I do think that Booty is his improvement and his progression is one of the few bright spots. Douglas, I feel like, is kind of plateaued, and the rest of them, I feel like, are just all trying to get on the field. That's it, right? I mean, there's nothing really else.
I thought yesterday was sort of a fine Douglas day. Not his best, but getting back into the idea where I think he should be a 4 or 5 catch guy mm-hmm. every game, just sort of a frequent part of the offense. I thought he had a little – they put it on the broadcast on May, that crosser. I thought he had a little alligator arms. At best, they weren't on the same.
That, yeah. Yep.
I think he saw the guy in front of him. Now, maybe he's taught to throttle down, find the hole in the zone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're not on the same page at the very least. But I think – because I think he's picked up his production a little bit to get closer to. He's probably going to be the leading receiver when the season comes to an end. But I want to see him out there. I want to see Baker out there. I don't, as much as I don't understand Bourne not playing, and also I would tie that into Gerard Mayo, what he said about May. You play well, and then you're the leader.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Bourne kind of supposed to be the leader of the wide receiver room? Doesn't he get cut off at the knees?
He's the veteran, yeah, sure.
But doesn't he get cut off at the knees if he doesn't play?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're going to be the leader? Why don't you just shut up? You don't play.
Right.
Kind of thing, right? I feel like some of these guys could absolutely think that even if they don't say it. So almost to embolden him to be able to be a leader, you got to get him some reps, get him some touches, get him involved in mm-hmm. the game plan. And I do think long term, he still has more talent than KJ Osborne.
I think so too, but we haven't seen it this year, and maybe they're not seeing it in practice, and maybe that's what it's all about. Like
maybe.
It doesn't. Nothing else really makes much sense. 617-779-7937. Joe is in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey guys, I think I agree with you, Andy. I think Drake May's best throw was to J.K. Osborne, and he got called out of bounds for illegal touching because he ran out of bounds. But I think like Drake May had an awesome day yesterday, because especially because of the wind, the goalposts were like shaking so much. You know, a lot of quarterbacks in this league would only be allowed to throw the ball 3 times in a windy game like that. But Drake May is the right guy for us because, you know, 6'5", 225, can throw the ball in tight wind. But the one thing is, for the love of God, he's got to get down and slide and not take those hits, because it's like he will get hurt and those hits add up. And the other thing is, like, when you slide, you're going to get that superstar treatment that, like, Brady Holmes got and Brady gets used to get. Is that, like, if anybody breathes on you the right way, it's a 15-yard penalty. If he keeps running like he's like a receiver or a running back,
Joe,
or a tight
Joe,
end,
Joe, 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 Joe,
the referee's
on. Hold on. You saw the game against the Jets where he slid, got hit in the head. There was no penalty on the field. He had a concussion
no
and
flag.
Missed the game, right?
But
he's not getting those calls.
Because,
he's
like, he ran. Look, No, like when he takes off like that and he runs like a tight end. I mean, he's probably the best athlete on the team as well as the best quarterback.
Yeah, but Joe, you're saying that he's going to get this special treatment.
He's not.
If he goes to slide and there's anybody around him. He got decked in the back of the head sliding and there was no bounce.
But that's what I mean. Like, he's got to slide. If he slides continuously, and every time he slides and the referees expect him to slide, then he will get superstar treatment. If he runs like a tight end or running back, he won't.
All right. But that's not his game.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
He's going to be Josh Allen 2.0,
right. You got to lower your shoulder and get yards.
The touchdown he had early in that Jets game, when nobody thought he was going to beat the linebacker, if he slides there or just goes out of bounds,
right.
Now he's going down the road of being a Mahomes or Russell Wilson, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he tries to beat the linebacker and turn the corner, and he does.
Which he did, yeah.
You're going down the road of Josh Wilson and Josh Allen. Who's Josh Wilson?
I don't know.
Seattle corner?
Good question.
Josh
Norman.
I think there was a Josh Wilson,
Seattle defensive
Maybe. Back. I'm saying there's a Josh Wilson, Seattle Seahawks.
Josh Wilson is a contemporary Christian musician from El Dorado, Arkansas, best known for the radio single Savior Please from his 2008 album Trying to Fit the Ocean in a Cup and Before the Morning from his 2009 EP Life is Not a Snapshot. That's who you meant.
So if the ocean is in a cup, it's clearly more than half full. It's just flowing over. That's how positive you are.
Yes, it is.
Because the Lord is great, Jesus. Thank you, my Savior.
Absolutely. Josh Wilson played cornerback in the National Football League.
For the Seahawks.
For the Seattle Seahawks.
Suck on that, Arcand.
How about that? He played with the team from Washington as well.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't say it. It's the team.
You said
the
offensive part, practically.
I said the red part. He played for Baltimore, Washington, Atlanta, Detroit, and Seattle is who he played for.
I told you. Anyway,
nice little career.
When you're doing the things he does and can do, you're becoming Josh Allen, and you're not getting the same. We've talked about it. You're Cam Newton. You're going down that road instead of the sliding road. And when you compound that by he got hurt when he slid and probably has a little trepidation there, especially with a guy like Edmonds or somebody who's like, that's a big scary guy. I'm not, sitting there just letting him tee off on me. So now I'm going to fight every one of these callers that tells him to slide, and I'm going to tell them, dive head first, you control the contact. As my high school coach used to say, do you want to be the hammer or the nail? Be the hammer.
Anything else?
No, coach is
done.
Okay,
good. The Patriots, speaking of contact, we're going to take a break on the Patriots here. The Boston Celtics, nice win over the Milwaukee Bucks in a game that they trailed by 17 points, I want to say. But some beef between Giannis the Dink and Andy Hart's favorite player of all time, Jaylen Brown, culminating in some elbows getting thrown, some handshakes getting faked, and some tough words after the game. We'll get to all of that next. You want to talk about a team that's falling apart? How about the Milwaukee Bucks, Andy Hart? Holy moly.
Couldn't happen to a better Dink.
My word. They had a big lead on the Celtics in the first half. Third quarter happened, and as they are wont to do, Celtics roar back. They come with a 113-107 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. But the story of the game was what you just heard right there, which, by the way, I love Scal. He's like, were there words? Are they having words? It's like, yeah, probably. He just elbowed him right in the head. Like, I'd imagine there's some words being spoken right now. And there were. And then he puts out his hand like, hey, sorry, Jaylen. Brown goes to shake his hand, and he does the hand through the hair thing, which, can I just say, I'm not proud of this. I know how big of a D-bag move that is because I used to do it. In fact, I did it to my grandma once. We were over in her house. It was my grandparents, both of them. And I had just learned this move. Like, my older cousin taught it to me. I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I went up to my grandma. I said, hey, grandma, how you doing? And she went to shake my hand. I went, ah. And my mother yelled at me for, like, an hour. Like,
good.
She was so mad. And I deserved that. I was being a total a-hole. But that... To do that.
Plus, who shakes their grandmother's hand?
Well, that was the whole point. I don't usually do it, but I went to do it just so I
could.
So
it's kind of on her a little bit, though. She got snookered. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Give me a hug. We're not shaking hands.
85 years old. Either way. But,
she was really old, so you really took advantage of the
elderly. Absolutely. No, this was all me. There's no blame to be given to my dear grandma here.
A-hole.
This was all me being a jackass. I don't think I left my room for a week after that. Either way, I got hit.
Beat.
The cuciad came out, yeah.
What is that word you keep saying?
The cuciad is a big wooden spoon, Italian grandmothers hit their kids with.
Sounds like cute cod.
Give you the ducalata.
That too, yes. But
what the hell's the ducalata? I got to be careful because I might say something I'm not supposed to. So.
Yeah, it's when you get hit. But yeah, the cue cod is a wooden spoon. You see those like thin ones that you stir spaghetti sauce with, and there's the big thick ones. She had the big thick one.
You like a big thick one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, no one likes the big thick one. But either way, that's a different story for a different time. I did that to my grandma. I got yelled at.
You
I deserved
should've.
It. I learned a lesson that
it's
day,
one of the douchiest
It made
moves.
Me a better person, I think, going forward.
I don't care whether you are a teenager with his grandmother, a teenager with another teenager, or two NBA players. Mm-hmm. It's one of the douchiest things you can do.
It really is, especially since he was wrong. He
yes.
elbowed Brown in the head. It's a dangerous play. That's not some, jokey play like, oh, we're all just buddies here, Jalen. Like, no. You could have really injured him. You could have knocked him out for weeks.
The guy just got back.
Seriously. Like, that was a tough one.
But that's what Giannis does all the time. He's the biggest bully on an NBA court.
Yeah.
Like, and then he tries to pretend he's the nicest, like, gentlest whatever on the planet. You're a dink bully. No one likes you.
Yeah.
And your team stinks.
Your team does stink. My God. The Milwaukee Bucks, I don't know. I mean, this could be everybody was talking about this at the beginning of the year. Could this be the year that Giannis demands out of Milwaukee? Each game that goes by, I think the answer to that is getting closer and closer to yes, because this thing is dysfunctional. They are off the rails. The Milwaukee Bucks are completely off the rails, and I don't know how they get back on at this point. Meanwhile, the Celtics keep rolling along. They're 9-2 with that win over Milwaukee, a comeback win in a game they trailed by 17. No one really... I thought stepped up outside of Tatum, who had that great second quarter, but the great second half. But other than that, I thought it was a pretty pedestrian game for some of these guys, and it didn't matter. You're still able to beat the Bucks, who I thought coming into the season was going to be their principal in the Eastern Conference anyway, their main rival. That's the one team that they were going to have the most back and forth with. Maybe they'd go, between first and second play, that type of thing. I expected them to be right there with them all season long, and it's been the complete inverse. I mean, literally, it's the inverse of that. They're 2-8 to start the year.
They could get themselves in the Cooper Flagg conversation, as we've talked about, or the multiple guys from Rutgers that are apparently going to go in the top five picks in the draft, including your porn star favorite. But, Giannis, and I know I rant about this, and I'm over the top because I don't like him, but I've never been impressed with that whole bully style, but then you seem to run out of gas bullying people when it's another good team or with the season on the line or a tough series. See, he kind of has that legitimate punch him in the mouth and he can't react. Like, when he's rolling, he's great. When he's playing downhill and he's taking his six steps without a dribble from half court and all those things that he does, it's great. But, his game is not overly diverse. It's pretty
He's been in the league simplistic. For 12 years. That was the first three-pointer he made all season last year. In 2024, if the whole offense is going through you, you've been in the league long enough, you can learn how to develop a jump shot. Like, he doesn't really have one.
Right.
His whole game is just either bullying guys on the block, like you said, or sprinting down the lane without really much. He doesn't even Euro step. Like, he doesn't do anything. He just charges at the basket. And when you're that big and that athletic, it's not like it hasn't worked for him. He's a great player, sure. And he's multiple MVPs, and he does have a championship. So, I mean, we're saying all this to say you've been in the league long enough now that I kind of feel like he's just, I'm just going to keep doing my Giannis thing year in and year out. I'm going to make all this money. It doesn't really seem like he's improving his game at all.
He's kind of the opposite of Tiger when he redid his swing after the Masters, or even James Harden. Remember, there was like every year he'd pick one thing. There was that one year it was the sidestep three or like one specific move. I'm going to add this to my repertoire. He's like, no. I'm just going to elbow you, run by you,
dunk on
you.
He has no repertoire.
You. Right. His repertoire is basically, I won the genetic lottery.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make any allegations about anything, but dude got a lot bigger in the NBA. That's all I'm going to say.
He didn't. That's
dude
true.
Got a lot bigger in the NBA, which I find a little shady. That's all I'm saying.
He's doing the
Roids. Nope, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying he got significantly larger in the NBA.
It is weird. Only like one guy has ever gotten busted doing roids in the NBA.
Obviously, they don't want to catch him.
Who was it? It was Rashard Lewis, I think, who wasn't even that jacked like in the first place, but it caught him doing roids, and it's like, you'd think there's a lot of big guys. Like Dwight Howard looked like he was on steroids, Like
Dwight Howard,
LeBron,
Kevin Willis,
like all these guys
LeBron.
Are humongous. Yeah,
you're
going to
tell me none of those guys are taking anything they shouldn't?
Absolutely not. I would never
Meanwhile,
make
Meanwhile, in the NFL, like Rob Ninkovich and Julian Edelman, all these guys are getting popped. And I also think basketball is a tough sport.
Yeah.
So it's not like your body recovers easily. Part of their load management plan is probably spending good amounts of money to keep their body going. And I wouldn't be surprised if they dabbled in areas of like these anti-aging clinics. Or,
yeah.
Are they real?
Their
are they
game,
not real?
Like the NBA, basketball isn't as based on strength, though. It's more like hand-eye coordination than it is just brute strength
well,
in the NFL.
Except for Giannis.
Except for Giannis, sure. But even he has to dribble the ball. You know, like if you're
does he? I usually see one dribble and then run.
That's true.
Run,
he does have long legs. But in general, you know what I mean? Like guys who are getting bigger still have to maintain the ability to dribble
yes.
and shoot the ball.
Yes.
As in the NFL, you just got to shove the guy in front of you. Half the guys on
That's
the
why
line.
Why I'm not alleging anything. I'm just observing size changes in players.
Okay. Gross. 617-779-7937. You set yourself up for that one. We're going to get back with the Patriots and a victory Monday here as the Patriots come away with a 19-3 win over the Chicago Bears. The defense shines. The NFL kind of sucks. And the Patriots now, it sucks so bad. The Patriots are almost in the wild card hunt, which is crazy. We'll get to all of that next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.